SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website as well, stevebick.com. I've got, for a mid-September weekend, I've got more PPs stacked up here than I do sometimes for some of the biggest weekends. The more I was poking around, the more racing I was interested in. And of course, it will do plenty about parks today and the Pennsylvania Derby Cotillion card. The Laurel action that, of course, is centered around the DeFrancis, the one-time Grade One sprint. It also has, of course, the DC International. I went to the DC International once, and that was fun. It was tied into our baseball league, I remember. And it must have been later in the season, too. Must have been later, like in October at that time, now that I'm thinking about it, because usually we would have our baseball banquet in around the World Series. But we stopped, my buddy Phil and I stopped at Laurel, and the DC International, and I want to say there was maybe the Martha Washington, if I'm going to guess, because there's a tie in there too with our old friends from Pond Street. But the DC International, part of a terrific slate that includes, in betting terms, that Bald Eagle Derby. Maybe I brought it up with Eddie Keneally yesterday. He's got Jay's Solitude in there. That's one of the most interesting betting races of the weekend, if you haven't dug into it yet. You know, there's a couple of very credible favorites, like He's No Lemon for Grand Motion. Grand Motion is positioned throughout that card at Laurel for a big day, including with the two-year-olds, the Salima and the Laurel Futurity. But he's got He's No Lemon, and there's that Jay's Solitude that Eddie discussed with Eddie yesterday. However, there's a 15-to-1 shot for Chucky Lawrence, and Richard Valentine has got Critical Data. Chucky's horse is Zonda, 15-to-1. Critical Data is, I said 20, it's 12-to-1. Critical Data, so a 12-to-1 and a 15-to-1 that I think have got nice shots in here. Really, a excellent, excellent card. And even some of the, some of the outlying race cards, like Charlestown, if you haven't taking a look. I know that James Scully looked at the Charlestown Oaks. But Charlestown's card that starts at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and the feature, the Grade 3 Oaks, goes off at 10:15. There's a couple of prices in there that are worth looking at. The card is dotted with the West Virginia Bred Stakes for $50,000 and the $100,000 Dickie Moore, good group of two-year-olds. Michael Matz with Richard Golden's Sticking Together down inside. Because we'll see what Brad Cox does. He's got Josie in that race cross-entered. Maybe Marty McGee knows if Josie's going to run at Churchill or if they'll put her on the van two-year-old fillies in that $100,000 Dickie Moore. Lots of fun racing. The Gallant Bloom and the Kelso in New York. We'll tie that in with Nick. Excuse me. The Gallant Bloom is Sunday. The Noble Damsel. Noble, Gallant. Splitting hairs. The Noble Damsel and the Kelso tomorrow at Belmont. And in fact, I'll mention Golden Brown, the most entered horse of the weekend, with Pat McBurney considering three spots. And I reached out to Pat last night, and he was still weighing his options about whether they would run at Laurel, Parks, or Belmont. I can tell you that Monongahela, Jason Service, heading to the Kelso with Monongahela. He's cross-entered as well in that Parks Dirt Mile, but the expectation is that you'll see Monongahela back at Belmont again. So a lot to digest and to handicap, and we'll do it with all of your favorites. Marty McGee. Marty will join us after the first break. We'll do some recapping with Marty of last week. I want to get his reaction to the two-year-old races. Just the one listed stake, but Covfefe, part of the Dogwood field, and way the horse to beat, obviously, in there. But there's a lot of good racing Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Churchill. You know, other than it's funny, the listed stake, which is probably the least interesting event of the 3 days. There's a lot of good maiden races. There's good allowance action, big full fields. This is a very good September meet, as we talked last week with Marty at Churchill. Really good. We got James Scully in here. Lots to do with James. Nick Tamaro. Nick just, if you heard the little beep on the phone, well, Nick just asked for a pushback. So we will probably flip-flop Nick and Hammer. We'll move Hammer up. Hammer, if you're listening, you've been put into the three-hole, top of hour two. Dave Grenig needed a pushback, so he'll be in hour three as well. So Nick and Grenig later, Hammer earlier, Ed DeRosa mixed in there for good measure as well. Lots to talk about from yesterday, both news-wise and results-wise. I mentioned Richard Valentine earlier. Well, that's not a bad segue to yesterday's Grade One Lonesome Dove. And Lonesome Dove, I love Lonesome Dove. Lonesome Glory. We love Gus and Captain Call. Speaking of Gus McCray, there was somebody for a long time that was signing tickets at the sales as Augustus McCray. And I always meant to try to find out who it was. It just popped in my head. Popping up on the tote board yesterday was an absolute boxcar result in the Lonesome Glory. And the race did not figure necessarily to be a potential wire job, but that's what happened. Surprising Soul. And Mr. Fipke, I sent Sid a text. I said, Mr. Fipke got himself a new Grade One winner. He's like, what do you mean? Who won? I said, Surprising Soul wins the Grade One Lonesome Glory. Ross Garrity with a really good ride, just controlling things up front. And meanwhile, heavily favored, 90 cents on the dollar, Winston C. was basically biding his time as if it wasn't going to matter, that he was going to be able to inhale the leaders. And all of a sudden, it became apparent that he wasn't going to be able to inhale the leaders, and he had to settle for fourth, which triggered, considering the prices in front of him, some very big, even whip pricing. 37.20 on Surprising Soul for Richard Hendricks, for his mom, Wendy. They were just a tither, and Ross Garrity with this win, and Garrity, I think, has won 3 Grand Nationals at Far Hills. He has now won every grade one. He's won an Iroquois. He's won Carolina Cup. He's won every grade one in the United States except the Smithwick. He won a New York Turf Riders Cup. So only the Smithwick, the last grade one for Ross Garrity, who really has had a terrific career in the irons over the hurdles. Hinterland second in here for Jack Fisher. Shepherd third with All the Way Jose. Both veterans. Hinterland's 11 now. All the Way Jose 9. And they came rallying. All the Way Jose actually was stalking and was keeping in touch with Surprising Soul the whole way. 48-1, longest shot on the board. Second longest shot on the board was Hinterland at 43-1. So you had a 17-1, 43-1, 48-1, and the even money favorite off the board. The Exacta paid $383 for a buck. The 10-cent super, $1,742. The 50-cent try, $3,028. Quite something. So the flat season for the jumpers draws to a close. And as we mentioned on Wednesday, with Joe Clancy and Bill Gallo back out into the hunt meets and the big get-together mid-October, the 19th, the Far Hills. And if you haven't been, make your plans. Far Hills Race Meeting .org. .org? I think .org or .com. Either way, put in Far Hills Race Meeting and you will get to it. A couple of performances at prices led to an enormous pick five yesterday in New York. 42,000 and change, and the sequence did not see a single favorite win. That resulted in this enormous payout, and you had a 23-1 shot. Bluegrass Cat Smile won that good New York bred allowance, the sixth race. And that was a crazy price on Bluegrass Cat Smile, because Thorograph users, anybody that had their hands on the sheets yesterday could see that Bluegrass Cat Smile was well worth using. So congratulations. And let's see how much the pick five had. $150,000 in the pool. So you had two winners. Nice. Actually, two winners? That's 20%, 150 to 30. Three winners. Today, the Bond Guard for the two-year-old boys. And when I talked to Dave Grenig, one result from the other day that we didn't get to was that upset. I just mentioned it in passing, but I wanted Dave to also weigh in on Tim Hill's winning the Gimma. That was great. So we'll do New York and Philadelphia, because Dave Grenick's handling Philly this weekend. He'll be down there. So we got a lot to do with Dave. We'll do that in the third hour. At Churchill. Now, we'll save Churchill for Marty. He's going to be up with us next. At Los Al, quality response at 5 cents on the dollar. Not 5 cents, but it was 1-5. She was 1-5. That Seahawk Lisa upset the Baffert horse in that maiden that came up. Seahawk Lisa, 11-2 for Jerry Hollendorfer and his partners. Hardspun filly. Beat Gingham yesterday. And I'll save Churchill. There's Churchill. We'll save that for Marty, who's going to join us next. A couple of pieces of news quickly before we hit the Marty's asking me, am I next? Yes. Yes, you are. the Los Al, I don't think we're doing any California today, so let me slip this in. CHRB yesterday, they got this one right. The schedule for Southern California, they tabled Northern Cal, but the Los Al actually got even more than they had originally asked and really complained about after having been limited potentially to 3 weeks. They'll end up with five, and they'll just be a June into July meet after Santa Anita, then to Del Mar, then instead of a September Los Al meet, straight to Santa Anita, then back to Del Mar for the Bing Crosby season, and then 3 weeks at Los Al after Del Mar November. So that'll be the turf horses will still get a nice three-week break in December leading into the start of Santa Anita season afterward. Another good day at the sale, and Hillendale's McLean's Music with a $300,000 colt. Yeah, let's take a break. Marty McGee starts us off. Weekend preview at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com, use a promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horseville.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horseville.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horseville.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horseville.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood fraternities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a grade one race but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's dancing behind movie scenes.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes into weekend preview here on Sirius XM. And I suppose there were a few brimfuls being raised by the McGee brothers after, go Google yourself, a winner, Marty McGee, last week. Congratulations to you and Samantha and Paul.
And Hermes.
Yes, and Hermes. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Best
good
bet
job
for Hermes.
The best. Yeah, of course it's the best bet. You love when that happens.
Yeah, it's an easy game. Yeah, that was great to see her win. And Brian Hernandez rode her perfectly. I know that Paul and Samantha had fielded calls from the agents for both of the Ortiz brothers wanting to ride her. And, you know, Paul stayed loyal to Brian, as he is wont to do, and paid off. It was a great race. She's not going to run again, it looks like, until the Fall City on, I guess it's Thanksgiving Day, or, Thanksgiving Day. And he could have run her back, I guess, in the Spinster, but it's back a little bit quick. And then the Breeders' Cup, you know, you got all the heavy heads. So he's picking their spot. I assume they want to run her next year at five.
Very nice. Well, I tell you, Samantha's had a very, very quietly has had an excellent year.
Yeah, she has. And she's been at the sales and, you know, going for more for down the road. She had a all ran a filly for her yesterday that they're pretty high on. She ran, I think, eighth. But, you know, my brother's become, he used to win with first timers, but he's become like Ian Wilkes and Buff Bradley and some of these other guys. They just, yeah, it just seems like they need one for whatever reason. But, yeah, her name's Take Charge Patty, and she ran a sneaky good eighth. She loomed kind of boldly at the quarter pole and then ran out of trainer. So, anyway.
Well, speaking of Buff Bradley, moved beyond the Locust Grove to the Open Mind. I had Buff. I had to make Buff the first visitor on Monday after the weekend because Divine Queen with the win, and could not have been happier after you informed everybody that Buff had a little bit of a health scare and a little bit of a procedure.
Well, I don't know if he explained it on the show, but it was an ablation, which is, you know, relatively simple. You know, you always say that about the other guy when he's undergoing the knife, but, you know, it's got a real good success rate. And, so he's, you know, it's like I said, the last time we talked about him, you could write a book about him. Yeah. He's had so many storybook tales with, I remember when Brass Hat ran on the Rushaway at Turfway.
Yep. Sure.
Went on a big day. And that's kind of when it all started with him and, of course, Groupie Doll and then the player and, you know, just a never-ending adventure with Buff Bradley. So, you know, I'm really mad at myself betting-wise on a personal level because the pick five was Divine Queen, and after the scratch of America's Tail, I really thought she'd get the kind of ride she did from Burrell. Then my brother and then Dale. So there's three singles. All you had to do was go all. And if you catch, it's $3,100. And I was too dumb to play that way with Doug O'Neill winning the Pocahontas and a 10-1 maiden for Brendan Walsh winning the last. So, you know, that's too easy for somebody like me to do.
Well, and talk about Doug, because we discussed it with him and was delighted for Eric Johnson. And, you know, here's another he's headed to. Well, he's not going to head to Breeders' Cup, at least on Friday, because the Avalanche have a game that night. So he can't go to the Breeders' Cup, at least on Friday. Lazy Daisy, the Painter Filly. And part of the story here was, you know, kind of the blah effort from Portrait coming off the big win at Ellis.
Well, she ran pretty good. I mean, she chased him all the way around. It was really a surprising race, the way the Amos long shot. And Lazy Daisy went 1-2 the whole way around, and the Portrait was poised to run, and she didn't kick in. She got beat, you know, pretty far, I think 4 or 5 lengths. But, you know, Doug's a gamer. He does things that people don't even think about. Like when that filly ran in the Delmar Debutante and was fourth, you know, fairly distant fourth, I believe it was Eric. Doug credited Eric with saying, hey, let's, let's run the Pocahontas in 2 weeks. So, you know, that entails getting on a plane and everything else. So, and they did it, and it paid off. And I just like the way Doug operates. And she's got a win, and you're in now, so she's all set for the Breeders' Cup. She's got to be one of the, I don't know, top four or five, six favorites, you would guess, on the strength of that win. The buyer didn't come back too good. I think it was a 77 or so. But nonetheless, they got the money.
Well, and there was something to be said about, you mentioned Amos with the long shot. And, you know, here was a horse that had competed in the Schuylerville after breaking the maiden at Indiana, then ran kind of a mildly late running third in the Ellis debutante. That's a big jump forward for her. And Amos, a $52,000 Keeneland yearling last year, his glory for Ben and Sheila Rollins. And Amos just performs for all his clients, getting the most out of every opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, he's inching up on 4,000 wins now, Steve.
Yep.
That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, Amos is something. Let's talk about the 800-pound gorilla, and that being Dennis's moment. And by all rights, I mean, people were saying, there might be some question, and this is the time to go against him. And okay, good luck to those that did that. He won exactly the way a 2-5 shot is supposed to win.
Well, he did. I mean, we don't know what he beat yet. He got a 90, which is down a little bit from his 97. This is kind of one of those bubble wrap situations for Dale. He just wants to keep the horse happy and healthy and get him to California. I asked him if he's going to send him out early, which, you know, I remember seeing Tammy out there a little early before. So Dale said he didn't know what he was going to do in that regard. But in the meantime, you know, they just want to cross their fingers and hope they get him into the starting gate there at Santa Anita, because he will be, I don't know if he'll be the favorite, but my gosh, he's got to be one of them. And, you know, I posted a thing on Twitter that got a lot of attention. I caught Dale coming down, and he saw me with my camera poised on him, so he threw his arms up, and that's how I got that picture. It came out good. And my caption was, man, it's a lot more fun when he has a real Derby contender. So you know, there's a lot of people pulling for him.
Well, and he's not finished yet with his 2-year-olds, because he's got others. And speaking of people with 2-year-olds, beside Dennis's moment, I talked to Eddie Keneally yesterday. Eddie with the Grade One win up at Woodbine, and it has been the second half of the year between Eddie Keneally and Rusty Arnold. There's got to be a flat bet profit if you bet $2 on every single horse the two of them have sent out since about June 1st. You got to be on the right side of the ledger.
Yeah, both of them. I mean, we still have all these big fall races running. Of course, Rusty points to Keeneland. He's already had a career year in terms of stable earnings. I think it's about $3.2 million. And I went back and looked up all of his years. He's been incredibly steady through the years, like right around $2 million, it seems like, every year, like, you know, ticking off a box. So he's really had a great year. He had the one downset, disappointment with Concrete Rose being injured, but he watched the races with us up on the platform there at Kentucky Downs, both of the stakes win, and he just kind of shaking his head at how good he's doing. And same with Eddie. I mean, Eddie, these guys, though, Steve, I can't emphasize enough. I know I've said it before. They work so hard. I mean, it's obscene. My brother, you know, and I had one of his, a guy named Phil Thomas, has been walking hops for my brother for the last few months, and Phil's a longtime trainer. He says, man, your brother, he needs to quit worrying so much. You know, it's just like these guys, they have so much on their plate at all times. You know, like this month, I know that Eddie's up and down the road to Keeneland and you know, entering here, entering there. And my gosh, I hope they all get to enjoy the fruits of their labor, because it's so immense.
Well, Dennis's moment. Up front, Scabbard was finishing really well. The horse formerly known as Noose, and Scabbard just kept coming, and it feels like you know, since both of them were getting their two-turn debuts, it feels like both of them move forward and have plenty of reason to, you know, to be supportive of their, you know, their long-term interests. 9-1 on Scabbard, too. I mean, somebody had to be after 2-5, and that was, I believe, he was third choice. Rowdy Yates was 8.5-1. So,
yeah, and you know, I'm sure I'd go ask Eddie what he's going to do with Scabbard. But we at the Racing Forum starting Monday. We're starting our Road to the Breeders' Cup or whatever it is we call it, wherever we all are assigned races. My two are the Juvenile Turf Sprint and the Philly and Mare Sprint, as always. So somebody, I think Dave Grenning usually has the Juvenile, so I'm sure he'll be chatting up Eddie. I would guess that he might run him back in the Breeders' Futurity. And see what he can do and get into the Breeders' Cup that way. But, you know, there's a lot of balls in the air right now, Steve.
Eddie, exactly the plan. And Eddie, really happy with where things are right now. And, you know, that filly up at Woodbine, he told the story. You know, that horse was a $30,000 RNA.
Wow.
And they just kept, they basically was a pinhook, and they just kept her. And look where they are now. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I thought she was beat the whole way down the stretch, and somehow she got up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a couple of other notes from the weekend past, because on Friday last week, Marty, we were noting the really good card, and I think under the radar. And I only just saw the figure this morning when I was pulling up from Simulcast Daily, the winner's book. Recruiting Ready in that money allowance, a 105 buyer.
Well, he's done that before. I think he's had a 105 before. So I would guess they're going to run him in the Breeders' Cup, unless they'd wheel back and run him in the Phoenix. I don't know if they're intending to do that. That's another. Mike Welsh generally has the sprint every year, so I know that the Phoenix is going to get, somewhat surprisingly, the horse that Hog Creek Hustle. They didn't know what to do with him, whether to, you know, he's kind of a tweener with the 7/8 Woody Stevens and the 7/8 Alan Jerkins. He missed by a zop in that race, and they didn't know whether to try and run him in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, or what. So it looks like Vicky and her ownership partners have settled on the Phoenix for that. So that could come up real interesting.
Huh. Excellent. That makes sense when you think about what, you know, where he is. And, you know, he is one of those horses that, yeah, what do you do? Is 6-2 sharp and is a mile, you know,
so they'll run to the Phoenix going in knowing they're probably not going to win, but maybe it'll be a springboard to something else. I don't know if they'd run six furlongs at Santa Anita. They kind of don't want to stretch him out. They'll probably end up trying it at some point, but I don't know if they want to do it in the Breeders' Cup.
Well, in addition, of course, to last weekend, we turn our attention toward this weekend. You are handling the Philly and Mare Sprint, and here's Kafefi tuning up for it in the Dogwood. And I said at the beginning of the show, Marty, that, you know, the Dogwood is the stake this weekend at Churchill, kind of an intermediate quiet week, but there's a lot of other good racing, more and better racing beside the stake, actually.
Well, I mean, Kafefi, she's going to be about 1-5.
Yeah.
I mean, she has to be. She's got the outside, open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear. And Sean Bridge-Mahan will just be sitting there like, you know, like a fat rat, just doing whatever he wants. So, you know, she ought to win. It's not a win in your end toward the Breeders' Cup, nor was the test. That's correct, right? It was not a win in your end. And I had talked to Brad and just kind of assumed a few weeks ago, coming out of the test, that he would run her in the Thoroughbred Club of America, which is in 2 weeks at Kingley's, and he said, "Nah, we're going to run in the ungraded Dogwood 7/8, which is the same distance, of course, as a Philly Mare Sprint." He just likes the timing better. It's 7 weeks out of the test, and it's 6 weeks to the Breeders' Cup, and that fits him better than the 4 weeks into the Breeders' Cup, he says. And, you know, I assume she'll get in because in my canvassing of this race, Steve, I've come up with 23 good possibilities, or so I think. You know, depending what happens in the cotillion, for instance, with both Bellafina and Sarah Guinea Empress, if they don't run where their connections might want to go back in the distaff, they could always turn back to the 7/8 in the Philly Mare Sprint. So I've got seven horses out in California just out there waiting, including Bellafina. You got Spice Perfection, Danuska's My Girl, Anonymity, Fighting Mad, Selcourt, Florida Lamar. That's the seven from California. So I would think, looking ahead of the Breeders' Cup, I know I'm getting way ahead of myself.
That's all right.
But it looks like 14, like we'll for sure get 14 from New York. You got Come Dancing, Royal Charlotte, Separation of Powers, Carrera Cat, Dawn the Destroyer. So there's a dozen right there. So, you know, and then there's some other horses worthy of mention. But first thing first for Brad, I know he just wants her to get a good solid race in here. You know, she ran the Giant, 107? In the Miss Preakness, she came back with a 98 in the test. I assume he wouldn't want her to peek out and run some massive number tomorrow. But they're just trying to get the one race. This is clearly a means to the end tomorrow here for Covfefe.
Well, and speaking of stake springboards, I'm curious. Do we know what Brad is doing with Josie, the filly that's cross-entered in that non-winners of two allowance at Churchill, drew the outside, is 3-1, but is also entered in the Charlestown Oaks?
I do not. I would assume, is Meadow Dance also entered in the Charlestown Oaks? I think she is too, right? For Brad?
I think, yes. I think drew the rail, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I'm going to guess. I didn't ask him about that. I assume Josie runs here.
All right. Let me see if I was right. No, I'm wrong about that. It's Irish Mischief that he's got. It's Irish Mischief that he's got in the Irish. We're confusing divisions too. The 2-year-old filly Josie is entered. I said Charlestown Oaks. And that's my fault. I meant it's the $100,000 thing. The Dickie Moore.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's Irish Mischief that's running in the for him in the Oaks.
I guess Meadow Dance fell through the cracks. I don't know.
We'll see.
I mean, Brad's got so many things going. You know, they gave me the scoop on Monomoy Girl last week and everything. So, that, you know, he's got 112 different things going on at once.
Well, speaking of that, there's plenty going on at Churchill beside that stake. As I mentioned, you've got a very good sequence for both days, really, the pick four, pick five sequence. And I noticed on Sunday, Mart, that Ulele, speaking of Brad Cox, coming out of the Alabama and going to get a turf try in that first race, that second level mile and an eighth allowance going long on the grass.
And it will be on the turf. We have been in a drought here in Kentucky. I think they said it's the longest drought we've had since 1999. They've got advisories, no burn advisories in a lot of these counties and everything else. So, I guess that Brad once thinks that Eulalie will like to hear her feet rattle. She ought to be maybe odds on in that race. It's the opener on Sunday. We got a real good allowance race later on in the card, and I chatted up Marshall Graham. Have you had him on the show, Steve?
This week, yes.
Yeah. He is so interesting.
He's the greatest.
Really, but anyway, I chatted him up about a filly, a mare named Lucky Move, and a New York bred that they claimed with the primarily to run her at two turns at Saratoga and Aqueduct. But she's an interesting prospect in the ninth race here on Sunday. Even though the purse is 97 as a New York bred, she's just running for 66,000, but you know, that's still a pretty good number.
Well, and he talked about giving horses to Bentley Combs, which is just great. And this is a horse they took from John Hancock, and you better be pretty clever if you're going to try to improve one off of John Hancock, who knows what he's doing.
Well, I mean, there's a horse that Todd Pletcher. I'm writing about this horse today that won the first race yesterday. Todd Pletcher won on, I remember it vividly, Ruler of the Nile. He won a maiden race on the Tampa Bay Derby undercard when I was there covering March of 2018. Ended up running for 16, then Asmussen claimed him, and then Asmussen lost him for 40, and then a guy, the Cipriano Contreras in Indiana, lost him for 8. Mike Lauer claimed, and now he's won 3 out of the last 5. So,
yeah,
you never know who's going to lose what to whom and how good they're going to do or not. You know, so it's what makes it fun, Dick. Come on.
Well, I'll tell you what else makes it fun. The horse population clearly that Ben Huffman is working with, Marty, because how about the split divisions, the 7th and the 10th on Sunday, 22 horses entered for the mile turf maiden race for two-year-olds. So Ben is going to have these horses around. He can keep offering this race at Keeneland as well, and he's going to get overflow.
And what do you think this is, Kentucky Downs or what? I mean, it's like, you know, they used to not run on the turf here at this particular meet. Starting when they started back in 2013, they had like this mantra going where, you know, we're trying to save the grass for the fall meet. But I see they got like 3 maiden races here on Sunday. So, anywho, we don't have the Breeders' Cup here this year. That's one factor that
that's
comes
a good point.
Play.
Good point that you can just open up the floodgates. Well, how about Mart? How about what's the McGee best bet? What's the Hermes play of the day today and tomorrow?
Gosh, Beck, I've got all my days mixed up. They're entering for Thursday today. We've got Friday in front of us, and then I'm writing about Sunday, and then you're asking me about all the I don't know.
Well, all right,
you
I'm going
to. I'm going to have a copy of American Turf Authority since 1894 your local outlet. And get,
unbelievable. I will dig up, because that's the kind of guy I am. I will dig up Mart's bold type for today. Let me see. Come on. I'm going race by race here. I won't give them all your plays, but let me see. I'll find it. This new system. I don't mind the new PPs, Mart. They're okay. It's okay, but the one thing that's a little tricky is you can't like go to a single page and it's a little hard to. That part's a little bit hard. The selection grid that disappeared on us. So when I'm doing this kind of thing, you know.
I'll text it to you later. You can interrupt your next guest and with the news bulletin.
the Marty McGee play of the day. Mart, I appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
Next Saturday is the Downs After Dark with the Omaha Beach and all the rest of them. So we'll talk to you Friday. Thanks.
Absolutely. And Mart is doing sort of the advances. If you haven't noticed, he was writing about the Lucas Classic, No Seeking the Soul. And there was something else. He was also, I saw a piece from him about something. I think the, who was it? Going to the TCA. I didn't print. Yeah, that's another thing that they've done recently at DRF. They took away the print, you know, print article button. It's a little annoying. There it is, right there. America's Tale for Bernie Flint is going to go to the TCA. Who came out of the Open Mind the other day. So look for her at Keeneland. As I said, really good card. And that those 2 maiden races on Sunday as well. Good card today. Today, I didn't even ask him about today. You got a first level allowance going 1 3/16 for 3 and ups. And there's that man again, Tom Amos, with the 3-1 morning line favorite. Tappet-wise, Marty says, line judge today in the 7th. Look at the chalk-eating weasel, 2-1. He's taking the 2-1 line judge. Come on. Stop with that. Tappet-wise is Mandy Pope, I believe, right? Yes. In fact, is that the groupie doll baby? I think it is. I think it is. I will check that for you, too. Taking a break. Scully's going to roll in here. Then Rick Hammerly, Ed DeRosa, Nick Tamaro, Dave Granning. Weekend preview, and there's a lot to look
at. The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Biff on Sirius XM Radio.
I race my feet, I miss a beat from my seat. Don't care, get off my back. I make a sound, I wash down round, so round. Get off, don't touch my stack. Pressure outside, just hit me high, cause I'm about to crack. 1, 2, 3, turn around.
We're back at the races. Almost 10 minutes to the top. James Scully is going to join us. Let me clean house with Marty. He texted me that line judge, but that's not what he's got in the paper. His bold type selection, which is the way they do it, because it's not like Marty to take Marty. When it comes to his best bet, usually it's like a middle priced long shot, like a 4-1 to a, you know, to an 8-1. That's usually where he reaches. But Bronze, he likes Bronze Charm today. For Grant Forster. Always root for Grant Forster. And Bronze Charm in the second. I can also tell you that Brad Cox gave us the answer regarding Charlestown and that 2-year-old. She will, Josie, will stay and run out of her own stall at Churchill. And she runs from the outside in the ninth race with Bridgemo. 3-1 on Josie, 3-1 favorite, as opposed to having to go over hill and dale and through the woods to grandmother's house at Charlestown on the van. Josie, what was she there? She was 5-2, and she was the speed in that stake at Charlestown in the Dickie Moore. So we'll have to see where the speed's going to come from. The second choice, I think, becomes the horse to beat, that Sticking Together for Richard Golden. of course, the Stallion Station, and Michael Matz. So, and we're going to talk a little Charlestown with Scully, including the Charlestown Oaks. And James joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
How was last week? Let's get some reaction to.
I'm looking forward to doing better this weekend. Wasn't the best weekend for me last week.
All right. Listen, you can't. If it was easy, everybody would do it, and in fact, everybody would be semi-retired. It makes you come back and work that much harder. What were your impressions, though, particularly of Dennis's moment and Scabbard chasing him home?
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed by Dennis's moment. One, you know, with the authority, really looked good. Like the way he settled early for Arad Ortiz, and, you know, you could just tell midway on the far turn he had a ton of horse and, you know, really wrapped up on him late. So, you know, I mean, I thought Scabbard, you know, he made a move along the backstretch, and when he got to the end of the backstretch, he ran into traffic and just got stopped, and it sort of shuffled him back and lost his momentum. Really made a really good run. I like his potential going forward, you know, but if he doesn't have that trouble, then maybe Irad just has to ride the winner all the way or a wire to win comfortably instead. So it didn't make any difference on the outcome, but I like the top two for sure going forward. Lazy Daisy, like how game she was, because I did think his glory had her in mid-stretch, and she battled back, but tough to get a read on that race as far as like where they stand in the two-year-old filly division. That race was a lot slower than the Iroquois. So, I mean, with Dennis's moment, you know, not this time on that race by eight lengths, and was the actual favorite in the 2016 Breeders' Cup Juvenile over Classic Empire, 5-2 favorite, slight favorite. And it's hard for me to envision Dennis's moment at worst being the second choice. I mean, he could easily go favored. Looks, you know, really special. There's still some horses left out there. I know that three rings, the buzz surrounding him going in that, or eight rings, sorry, the buzz surrounding that Empire Maker colt for Baffert going to the Del Mar Futurity was enormous. And he's come back and worked after that misadventure. So I don't know if he runs in American Pharoah and looked really good, theoretically he could compete for favoritism. But Dennis's moment is just going to be a threat to overpower him at Santa Anita in early November.
Well, and we've also got we've got the East Coast candidates in the Champagne. That
Green Light Go for sure. Definitely, I think I'm really excited to see how he does.
Yeah, no, there's some formidable 2-year-olds yet to run, obviously, but the leader in the clubhouse, undoubtedly, Dennis's moment that did exactly, you know, what, let's be honest, what was promised and what was being threatened by Dale Rovitz. Delighted for the Albaz, who then went to the well at Keeneland, too, the past 10 days, and today, second half of Book 5 at Keeneland, and then Saturday and Sunday, the last of this fortnight run for the Yearlings, and you know, a little bit of a kind of a short break before the October sale, and we've also got one here at Saratoga. In fact, the catalog came yesterday for that Saratoga sale, a little bit of everything in there, weanlings, broodmares, and Yearlings. So plenty of sale yet to come, including these next 3 days to close out Keeneland. Let's talk some of this week. And I really got excited. The more I looked and the more PPs and cards that got drawn, James, including what's going on at Laurel tomorrow with the International and the DeFrancis and a bunch of other supporting stakes, Charlestown with the Oaks and the Dickie Moore for the 2-year-olds, and then, you know, there's like another six. There's West Virginia stakes and, you know, some smaller $50,000 type events, parks, of course, on and on and on. Where do we want to start?
Well, I'll take start right with the Charlestown Oaks. You know, Linda Rice has a central banker filly, a New York bred named Newly Minted, coming in there off a 9-length win on that New York bred showcase card the day before the Travers. And really, I mean, she She looks has a serious chance in there. I can't dismiss South of France as well off the tightener for a Pletcher. She drew outside. But I landed on, in the Charlestown Oaks, I landed on Brad Cox's filly, Irish Mischief. And just really liked that race last time at Ellis Park. I like how, you know, earlier this year she showed some ability, but her speed ratings, her brisk speed numbers were low. And I just like how she improved last time. I think she's going to get the trip from the inside post in the speed-filled race. And I'm going to give her a shot, 8-1, the Price is Right, Irish Mischief, and the Charlestown Oaks. And I'll just tell you, I mean, I looked at that race with Josie because, you know, I looked at that allowance tomorrow, and I'm almost glad she's out of the allowance because I'll be at Churchill, be trying to beat her in there. But, you know, with her scratching out of there, you know, it's really, you know, the race is going to run through. You know, I think the one horse, I mean, I know she's coming off a maiden claiming win, but I just think she's going to get the right trip from the inside, sticking together for Michael Matz. And, you know, I think it's both her and Gifted Heart are the fillies to beat there in the Dickey Moore.
Yeah, that big full field at Churchill, it's an interesting angle, too, that, you know, chance to beat her at a short price at Churchill.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, that Wasabi Girl in that race, that's race 9 tomorrow at Churchill. It's a 2-year-old filly allowance, optional claimer allowance. That Wasabi Girl really ran into a monster first time out in Frank's Roquette, finished a clear, you know, had a little bit of trouble, finished a clear second, came back and ran on the turf. She ran okay, got beat ahead. But I loved that win last time. That was really a visually impressive performance because she put that field away with ease. And Tyler Bates, I mean, he geared her down. At least one horse out of that race has come back to win again. And I think that there's some quality there for that Shanghai Bobby filly. So I think Wasabi Girl could be a decent one for Asmussen, and excited to play her tomorrow off that maiden win at Ellis.
Let's, all right, I'm just noting these down as we go. Where are we turning our attention? Philadelphia?
Yeah, let's go to Philadelphia. You know, really the Cotillion, to me, a fascinating race. I mean, drawing the rail for Serengeti Empress, you know, forces her hand, having Jaywalk on the far outside. It's just a little, you know, Garana's the filly to beat in there. I won't be surprised if she settles, like, just right off the speed and runs her race. But it's interesting to me because, I mean, she's only run 3 times. And, you know, Chad didn't want to run her against Dunbar Road. And that means she's coming off a 2-month layoff with, like, 7 works in tow, including, like, a recent 5-furlong bullet. I just wonder if she's going to be willing to settle in this race because – there's just a lot of speed in there. I mean, she went 45-3 her first race, was chasing 43-4 in her second, and there just was no speed last time. So it'll be interesting to see because, she's run her best races on, you know, she's run well on the front end and hasn't really shown that ability yet, tractability, I don't think. And same with Bellafina. I mean, I look at Bellafina, and I'm tempted to give her a chance stretching back out the 2 turns, but her best races have come on the front end. And, you know, those last 2 races, it just hasn't worked out. The race 2 back in the Oaks, you know, no excuses that day, I didn't think. So the filly that intrigues me in there that I'm going to bet is Street Band. And, you know, it's somewhere I was making this case before. I thought her races, I didn't think she was fast enough to win the Kentucky Oaks based on her races at the fairgrounds. I just thought other horses were faster. She didn't run that fast. But I really like her last 2 races because she has improved from a speed rating standpoint, you know, significantly. And on our brisk number, she ran a 97 and a 96 the last 2 races, winning the Indiana Oaks by open lengths and running 3rd to Dunbar Road in Alabama. And those numbers, those efforts signal improvement to me. And she's got the right run style where she's going to have a hot pace in front to set her up. So I'm willing to, you know, at 8-1 on the morning line, pretty much looks like a lock to get a solid price on her. I'm going to give Street Band the edge in the Cotillion.
Interesting. There's every opportunity for somebody to fall into a behind the speed trip here. That's the element that makes, you know, Serengeti Empress starting from down inside and also toting, you know, one story that hasn't been mentioned really is the weight distribution in this and the fact that both the Cotillion and the Pennsylvania Derby are not at, you know, for a 3-year-old Derby Oaks style pair of events, typically you would have them at equal weights, but that is not the conditions. I mean, so there's horses that are getting as much as 7 pounds from Serengeti and Guarana.
Mm-hmm.
And Bella.
Yeah, and you know, Marty mentioned the fact that, hey, Serengeti, you know, could cut back to the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint. But I mean, I look at it. I mean, Bellafina for sure. I mean, if Jaywalk, if she doesn't just get buried, I mean, to me, it would be an option to like take a look at a race like that with her. And even with Garana, I mean, if she comes up empty in the stretch and runs, third or fourth, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if it does, I mean, based on that one turn effort in the Acorn, I mean, 7 furlongs might hit her right between the eyes and you know, he's already got Dunbar Road. I know with different owners, but that Filly Mare Sprint, it's going to be a huge field, like Marty was talking about, I think. And you got some horses in that Cotillion who could be angling for it if they don't run big.
Well, we'll turn from the Cotillion to the Pennsylvania Derby. Then, actually, I want to go backwards and ask you a couple of spots elsewhere on that card. But, you know, obviously we lose Maximum Security, which is too bad. However, it doesn't particularly take away from what is a bit of a chess match.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's going to be, I mean, I think with Improbable Drawing post too, I mean, that's pretty much, he's going to be going, I think, with Mike Smith. You know, he's a likely pace setter. It's always a question, you know, war of will in that Jim Dandy. I just think he wanted to settle for Tyler that day and, you know, took off for the lead because Pax was actually showing the way into the first turn and then just let him just go by him because there was no holding war of will. But I just think that Mr. Money, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I just think he projects to sit the perfect trip. I definitely, you know, this spring wasn't sold on him as like a route, you know, mile and eighth even type horse. I thought after that Pat Day mile and even the Matt Wynn, you know, a one turn mile was like theoretically his best distance. But, it's hard to knock that effort in the West Virginia Derby. I mean, he looked splendid that day. Didn't look like, it was the right spot, you know, company-wise as well to perhaps get a non-furlong trip. But this Pennsylvania Derby could be the exact same setup. And I just envision him being in the perfect spot turning for home with Gabe Saez. And he's going to be difficult to beat, in my estimation, Mr. Money is.
Anybody, it seems, that has been within a certain radius of Churchill is just absolutely locked in on Mr. Money, and that, you know, this is his moment. So I
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. If he wins that Pennsylvania Derby, I mean, I just don't know how the breed. I mean, I don't even think they'll be thinking Breeders' Cup. I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
That's a great question. That's a great question. I don't know. I do not know. I don't know. I don't know what they do. It's, because Brett has been in the Tom Law from the Saratoga Special and this is horseracing.com with the Clancy brothers. Tom has been doing notes for Parks for about a week and a half leading into the weekend. And he had a couple of very, I thought, intriguing discussion points with Brett Calhoun. And Brett was kind of opining about the fact that they're starting to they're starting to really think. I mean, seriously, that you know, what could we do if we were to be successful Saturday? You know, what would we have to do to be a 3-year-old champ? And it really hadn't come to the fore until recently. So they were hoping that having a chance at Maximum Security, a win in this race would have been enough. But without him there, it's hard to then say beating Improbable War of Will and you know, the other, frankly, very nice horses. Spun to Run and Math Wizard are very nice, mm-hmm. but they're not, you know, they're not horses that were exchanging blows on the Triple Crown trail. So a win over Improbable War of Will and Maximum Security, that would have been a very nice piece of evidence for voters to weigh. But we'll see where it goes after. Let's get through Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Math, you're right about Math Wizard. I mean, that horse, you know, $25,000 claim in January, and he's in $250,000. I mean, what a I met a guy that was in on him that claimed him for the maiden six, was part of the group that claimed him for the 16 claimer, and then they ran him back for 25, and he got, you know, taken again and won by 18 lengths. And asked him, I said, why did you run him in that race? And he was like, the trainer said we had to. So, that horse, it always intrigues me. I mean, he was in Maximum Security debut. Let's start to him.
Well, there's the grade ones. Let's touch on a couple of the other spots. And the Gallant Bob, I asked Haskin yesterday, and, you know, the more you start to poke around that race, you got to figure out, you know, does it go beyond the two West Coast invaders, Landeskog and King Jack? Pletcher trying Bulletin. Why not? How many more opportunities do you have? 3-year-old restricted company, and Trophy Chasers had a nice year. Then there's some of the prices, but you got a Gallant Bob thought?
Yeah, and this race has produced some Breeders' Cup, Trinneberg, and others that they could run in this race. I like Landeskog. First off, nobody trains horses named after hockey players better than Doug O'Neill. But I thought Landeskog in his first two races at Oaklawn Park, I mean, it was a good-looking maiden win. It was a solid second to Nitrous in that Bachelor. You know, he didn't run that fast in those races. And, you know, got it handed to him in the Woody Stevens. But loved how he bounced back. O'Neill freshened him off that race, and I was impressed by that race at Del Mar. He beat a solid field of older horses impressively, I thought. Really ran the speed for speed rating we gave him, the top last out figure in the field, and I just think he's another horse, lightly raced and on the improve, and, you know, well drawn in post six. So I'm going with Landeskog and the Gallant Bob.
Now, in the multis, I think you got to use King Jack, too. But those are your principles. We'll see what's going to happen. We understand Pat McBurney said that Monongahela, apparently Jason Service, is running in New York in the Kelso. And we're still waiting for McBurney to decide about Golden Brown, who I think is weighing, at this point, is probably weighing the Park Sturt Mile versus the DC International, the turf race versus this. I think he's probably down to those two. The turf Amazon, Goldwood, probably takes a lot of beating. That horse of Trey Abbott's on the outside, too much tip, I thought, at a price was worth using at least underneath. You've got the Pennsylvania bred Alphabet Soup, which is a really fun race. The Old Wellings Pumpkin Rumble, the horse to beat coming down from Woodbine. But I don't know. Butchie Reed with Smooth B. Lynn Ashby's got Taxable Goods. They're both double digits. And Aaron McClellan on the outside with Ty Connor. My friend Frank, 8-1. I thought there were some prices to weave in along with that.
And I'll say this about that Parks, the Dirt Mile. I mean, didn't mention that, obviously, other than Monongahela scratching. But, you know, obviously, Cold Front, even the money on the morning line. I think that race is a perfect example where everybody's going to be looking at it and going to be singling Cold Front. And I'm a little bit worried that, you know, he's just off form. I mean, I didn't like that effort. I know that Monmouth Cup was one of those races that was delayed and they were dealing with the heat. But I just worry about a horse like that going a little bit off form. And I know that Diamond King has run some huge races at Parks. I think, you know, when he's on his best game, you know, he's dangerous, especially like at, you know, this mile distance. And, you know, if for any reason Cole Front isn't at his best, Diamond King is an option, is a horse that I'd look to use like in multi-races, just because everybody will be on Cole Front.
I don't disagree at all. Diamond King and Golden Brown are the other, you know, are the two. And yeah, as Andy Serling famously says, we'll see if Cold Front can even run anymore. I mean, that's what you're dealing with. So we'll see. It's a fun group of races. What else did you look at out of curiosity? Because
I'm going to be at Churchill tomorrow. I'll be working that. I just mentioned there's a race there, race number 8. It's a pretty solid betting race, I thought. It's an allowance, a mile and eighth turf allowance. They got 10 horses. I think all the morning line, you know, all the favorites in there are vulnerable. The race couldn't be more up for grabs. I'm looking forward to playing number 8, Go Away, off the freshening for Eddie Keneally. I thought this horse had plenty of upside last year. I thought he showed good class. That race at Keeneland when he got, you know, when he split Faraway Kitten and English B, I didn't think he got the best trip in that race. And, you know, I really like that allowance win at turf at Tampa before he went on the shelf. I think that's the kind of feel where he could come back. And if he's ready to go for Eddie Keneally, you know, he can beat this bunch. So there's a horse I like on Saturday at Churchill.
Very nice. We had Eddie yesterday. Eddie's hitting on all cylinders. And hopefully James is as well. James underscore Scully 111 on Twitter. And, of course, with everybody at the Twin Spires blog roll. And, James, I appreciate it. We'll catch up next week. Another big Churchill Saturday ahead.
All right, sounds good, Steve. Good luck this weekend.
James Scully. Let's take a break. Come back. We'll check in with Hammer, who has made his way back successfully to California. We'll see what's up with Rick. We'll talk about that schedule. If you missed the opening moments when I did some news in the first segment, that Southern California calendar came together yesterday successfully at the CHRB meeting. And a little different than this year's Del Mar summer. Will go right to Santa Anita. We'll see what Hammer thinks. And I want him to talk about the racing office perspective on that topic that came up this week, refusing entry. What the racing office, you know, where do you draw the line? It's a little tricky as you got these two 50-to-1 shots, more or less, in the Cotillion and Pennsylvania Derby. We'll get Rick's perspective. Back after this, we'll talk to Ed DeRosa and Nick Tamaro, Dave Grenig, and more. Weekend preview at the races.